Roger that, Mike November Tango. Your code 41 acknowledged.
P Division, code 41. P Division, code 41.
The Bone Pit by Peter Turnbull, dramatized by Stephen Mulryan. The Bone Pit.
Listen, Dermot, that's 2 bloody weeks now, and not one single brick laid against another. I mean, behind schedule's hardly a word, is it?
Yeah, I know, boss, but you can't work in these conditions. Well, God almighty, you stick a spade in the ground, and it's like sinking a well. It's the monsoon season.
Yeah, and the first dry day we get, your buggers walk off the site. You can't expect bonus payments for no work.
It's not the money, it's the amenity hunt. Oh, Jesus, you wouldn't keep a dog in that place. You can't even get a brew up.
Sorry, I'll clear off to the pub and come back legless. That's the answer, is it? That's going to get us back in schedule. I've told you, the hut's all organised. It'll be here first thing tomorrow.
And you can't blame us for the JCB falling over.
Oh, and it takes a whole day to write it. Come on, Dermot. This is the second payday, and what is there to show for it? A couple of drainage ditches, 2 days' work maybe. And tomorrow's a write-off. Bloody Friday hangovers.
Yeah, 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 come in.
Mr. Waller, you better see this.
For God's sake, wipe your feet. What is it now?
What is it, Joey?
You better come and see this.
God love us and save us. I don't believe it.
Jesus. You read about these things. Skeletons and building sites and all that. I never thought I'd see one myself.
Well, get me stopped digging. Let's switch that thing off.
I'll do that.
Well, he just cleared the cover of the digger. It's like this paving stone lying flat, you know. I shoves a pick under it to lever it up, and that's what I see. Scared shitless, I tell you.
God love us and save us. Okay, Joey, just keep back from it. Same goes for the rest of you. Mr. McCann, tell your men not to touch anything. Get right down to the bottom end of the site. I'll go back up and phone the old Bill.
Okay, lads. You heard the man. Let's get out the road. Come on. Seen one skeleton, you've seen them all.
Came across. Pit in poor condition, changed attitudes. What the hell's that?
Many letters?
10. 10 across, 10 letters. If I get that, I can crack this for sure. Pit in poor condition, changed attitudes. What a coffee. I take it that's a yes. What's that you're on?
Nothing much.
Yeah. I wish to God something would happen. I mean, if nothing happens, I've got no excuse for not opening these files and writing something. There's damn all happening in any of them. But the boss's file inspection draws nigh.
Don't I know it.
And if all these bits of paper aren't in the right section, and all these boxes don't have a wee tick or a cross...
Then you'll just have to take them home and do it on your own time.
And that, D.C. Abernethy, is one game of soldiers I don't play. Milk, no sugar, right?
Thanks.
What is that, anyway? Looks a bit dog-eared. Don't recognise the forms.
Hey, come on, Mal, this is the cleanest mug you could find.
Yeah, it's the second cleanest. What is that?
It's an old missing persons report. It was cross-referenced to one of my cases for a possible connection, but it's unlikely. A weird name, though. Carol Carroll.
Eh?
Yeah, a Mrs. Carol Carroll. A married name. So it wasn't like her parents had a brainstorm. She was 47 when she disappeared. That would be about 20 years ago now.
Yeah. She'll be at the bottom of the Clyde and the lead cement. Show it to old Ray Sussock. Give him a trip down memory lane.
No way. She's going back to the collator before Donahue sees it's still in my file. I'm supposed to have cleared this out. Could be business for you.
Maybe you too. DC Montgomery. Yep. Yep. Seriously. Okay. We'll be right there. Right, Tom, my lad. We're off to the races.
What?
I split, and I got it. Code 4-1 in Dalmuir.
Dalmuir? Oh, God. I don't want to go there in a 4-1. I really don't.
Tough. Grab your coat. There's no hurry. Been a long time dead. A skeleton.
Oh, terrific.
Hold on. 10 across. Pits in poor condition, changed attitudes. Entrenched. That's the word.
I don't know if it's swamp hunted or brought a welly.
Ethel, what's the story?
Well, this gentleman here found it. This is Mr. Waller. He's the site manager.
No, it wasn't me, really. It was the crew.
Did you put the sheet over it? No, I did that. Nothing else has been touched.
How long do you think he's been there, sir?
Huh. So she.
Do you reckon? I mean, how can you tell?
Depressed, eh? Nah, we'll get the pathologist out, of course. But it's the brooch that does it. See? Just left of the ribcage. Can't see a fella wearing that, can you?
True enough.
Can we use your phone?
Sure.
Okay. Phil, do you want to cover that up again? George, it's like one of those stony burial pits.
Yes, hello. D.I. Donoghue, please.
Oh, morning, sir. Montgomery here. Yes, we're at the site now. Suspicious death, Most likely code 4-1, since there's obviously been an attempt to conceal the body. Well, years, I would think. Pretty well all the flesh gone. Completely skeletal. Right, sir. We'll do that. Right. Thank you. Okay, Tully. That's us till Dr. Reynolds gets here. He's on his way, apparently.
What's that code 4-1?
Murder.
For, would that cover any skeleton? If it turned up outside a graveyard, I mean.
Nah, not necessarily.
No, we'd only initiate proceedings if the death had occurred less than 70 years ago.
Yeah, basically, if it happened that long ago, then the murderer is most likely frying in hell anyway. We've got enough live perps to chase after. So anyway, Mr. Waller, tell us what happened this morning.
Well, we're digging drainage trenches, as you see, and the digger caught the edge of a stone slab. I mean, there's a fair number of these around the site, from old mine buildings. To tell you the truth, you'd need to be crazy to build in this site. But these Lestat Holmes houses are so bloody flimsy, you could throw them down the clay.
They pay your wages, Mr. Waller.
Anyway, the JCB caught the edge, and the crew levered the thing up. I mean, they thought it was a bit iffy, because it was laid absolutely flat. You know, like a gravestone. So, they lift it up, and there she is, sitting grinning up at us.
Yeah, she'd be pleased to see a bit of daylight. So what do you know about this site? You know, it's past history.
Well, it's been waste ground going back 100 years or so. There's some old ordnance survey stuff. And before that, it was a working pit.
So the skeleton can't have been left behind when a previous house, say, was demolished?
No. As I say, nobody in their senses would have built here. Anyway, what happens now?
Well, the pathologist will be here directly. Plus, I've seen a crimes officer to take a couple of photographs. We'd like the crew to leave the site, if you don't mind. Is that possible? Stop work for the day.
Oh, sure. Oh, they'll bloody love that. And it's just after opening time. Couldn't be better.
Well, oh, this will survive till I get it home. Need them for the garden.
What is it? A worm?
An earthworm, yes. Oh, this lady's been a meal ticket for invertebrates for a good many years. Too easy for them, really. Now they'll have to work for their living. Oh, good. Oh, here's another. Our local population of these things has been depleted recently. I think we've had an invasion of flatworms. Oh, they eat them, believe it or not.
Oh, I thought it was early bumped.
Nah. I'm afraid my garden consists of a spider plant hanging up in the john. Anyway, worms aside, Doctor.
Oh, well, I'm reluctant to rinse off the clay for the moment, in case it disturbs some evidence of cause of death.
What about the skeleton? A woman, presumably. Is she middle-aged, by any
chance? No, quite young. Why?
Just a colleague of mine was looking at a missing person file earlier. Middle-aged female reported missing about 20 years ago.
No, this is the skeleton of a young woman, late teens, early 20s. Skull hasn't properly knitted for one thing, and there's very little dental work. She was a tall girl in life. 5'9", that's tall for the west of Scotland. Must have been quite a sight in stilettos. Auburn hair, if that narrows it down for you, Mr.
Montgomery.
Aye, Montgomery. Well, these will cut it down a bit further. Wedding and engagement rings, once I've given them a rinse. Yeah. There you are.
No inscription, unfortunately.
No. If I can just get in here. Yes. The mountain and land's cave, if information be your treasure, Mr. Montgomery. Well, the teeth confirm it, very little dentistry. And the type of work, no older than the past 30 years or so. The dental school might be able to match your records. Oh, I can also confirm it's a murder inquiry.
Murder?
Most foul. Look.
Jesus.
One pair of nylon tights stuffed into her gullet. Oh, people do commit suicide now and again, you know, swallowing a sock, but this is too deeply wedged. A murder by suffocation. And the tights mean she was alive within the past 30 years, if that's any help. Well, they came in with a miniskirt.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
Oh, and then there's this little chap.
What's that?
It's a finger, Mr. Montgomery. But it's not one of hers. Very neatly severed, eh? Just in front of the knuckle, see? Larger bones than hers. I'd say male. Tip slightly inclined to the right. Middle finger, right hand.
A finger?
You know, I think we're looking at a wee accident here.
How do you mean?
Well, the deceased was found under a stone slab. I knew a chap once, he was paving his garden, huge concrete slabs, and one of them slipped and crushed his finger. If it had been over an edge, say, it would have taken it right off.
And you think whoever buried her, laying the slab over her?
Well, his finger would have been over a void.
And chop.
And chop, indeed. So it's entirely possible that your perp, Mr. Montgomery, is minus the middle finger on his right hand.
11:55, I'm impressed. That must be one of the speediest PMs Dr. Reynolds has ever done. Though I suppose a skeleton presents fewer complications. So...
Well, it's preliminary findings only, but no question it's a code 4-1. Tights rolled up into a ball and stuffed down her throat, too deep for a suicide, and she'd probably have been dead or unconscious at the time.
More of a coup de grace than the definite cause of death, I suppose. Yes, obviously suicides don't pull stone slabs over their heads.
And there's the evidence of the finger, as you'll see in Dr. Reynolds' report.
Why, that could be crucial, even at this stage. First priority is missing persons, though. Not much we can do until we get the names of possible victims from the collator. But I think there's a very long arm going to tap somebody on the shoulder. Right, Montgomery, you know the drill. Who's on the early shift with you?
Abernethy, sir.
Good, he's new. Work with him on this and don't press ahead if you feel you're getting in too deep. Who's in the back shift?
Richard King, sir. Ray Sussex drawn the graveyard turn.
Right. Yes. I have a feeling everybody will be involved in this one.
Ray, come in, come in. I wasn't expecting you. Should you be asleep?
I'm asleep. Don't wake me up, Elka.
Oh, come here, old Sussex. How's that?
Yep, I told you. It's a dream.
Well, you're too late for lunch and... too early for dinner. I don't know what I can give you, but I'm sure I'll think of something. Come on.
This is nice.
Gourmet microwave. I'm afraid the Chardonnay's out of its class, but never mind.
I'll go easy, I think. Don't want to fall asleep in the night shift. Oh, hey, not that easy. You're working yourself this evening?
Yes, I'm afraid so. D.I. Donahue's eyes and ears as usual. I'll have to leave here at 5, but you can stay on here, recoup your energies.
Thanks.
You sure you don't want to call in? Let them know your whereabouts?
What do you think?
From the signs, I'd say you've been on a Rutherglen trip.
Yeah.
And?
Well, I had to pick up a raincoat, various other bits. Nothing from the solicitor yet, unfortunately. I was hoping she might be out.
What did your wife say?
Nothing. Well, nothing I'd want to repeat. The boy was there, whinging on about getting the garden done to sell the house.
Your son?
Yeah. Oh, honest to God, Elkett, I don't know what she's done to that lad. I don't recognize.
Well, it takes two.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Ah, well, anyway.
Happier thoughts, old Sussuk. Happier times, okay? Another drop. Encore une fois.
Hey, that's not Dutch.
Well, I'm European.
Uh-huh. So which country's flag is that you're wearing?
It's a rugby shirt. That's for later, in case it gets a bit rough.
This I do not believe. I mean, is that Kalita brain dead or what?
What's the problem?
You heard me saying to him. Missing person, female, late teens, early 20s, auburn hair, married, 5'9". I mean, was that an ancient Hebrew or something? Look at these. Missing woman, 5 feet nothing. Now, here's another one. 70-year-old. Aye, he's even chucked in a man.
So he's being thorough. The point is, has he turned up any possible...
The point is, he's supposed to save us work, not create it.
Oh, come on, Malcolm. Is there anything there?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I suppose so. Young woman, 22-year-old, disappeared 25 years ago. Husband reported her missing.
What's the details?
5'8", close enough. Reddish-brown hair, name of one Jennifer Ballantyne.
Well, nice name.
Isn't it? Classy sounding. Just the right number of syllables. She lived up the West End, 195 Saltoun Street.
Eh? Hang about.
What? Ring a bell?
Yeah, I think so. I'm sure I've seen that address.
Probably a break-in. These West End tenements are always having their windows turned. I should know. It's just up the road from my place. That reminds me. I'm having the lovely Veronica for dinner tonight, I tell you. Well, she's a dessert, of course, but I'll kick off with steak. Italian style, I think. Nice bottle of Chianti.
No. I remember it now. It's in that old file, the missing person I told you about this morning, you know, with the weird name. Double Carol.
Mm-hmm.
She disappeared about 20-odd years ago as well. An address in Saltoun Street.
No, I don't... Not 195.
Yeah. Here it is. 195 Saltoun Street. Glasgow G11.
What? You think there's a black hole or something? The Partick Triangle, eh? Two people go missing from the same clothes. It doesn't mean there's a connection.
Oh, come on, Malcolm. Mrs. Carroll lived at 1-up left, 195 Saltoun Street, and disappeared in 1970. What does your file say?
I'm frightened to look. Jesus. Jennifer Ballantyne, 1-up left, 195 Saltoun Street. Disappeared in 1973. I think we'd better take a hike out there.
Come.
Sorry to disturb you, sir. But there's a fax just arrived from Dr. Reynolds at the GRI.
Oh, thanks, Arca. I'll be updating his post-mortem. What's he say?
Mr. Montgomery has no doubt given you my preliminary findings. I have not come across anything which has caused me to revise that opinion. Mm-hmm. No trace of poison, at least that would still be detectable. Lighter poisons, such as chloroform, would leave no trace at this date. Heavier poisons, strychnine, arsenic, etc., would be detectable in the hair.
But he's nothing if he's not thorough, is he? Just give me the important bits, Elke. I think we can omit the lecture notes.
Sorry, sir. No evidence of major trauma. No fractured bones. assume cause of death suffocation by the nylon tights pushed down her throat, mm-hmm. though she may have been strangled or suffocated prior to that. Estimated age, 21 plus or minus a year.
Good. That would fit the missing person Montgomery and Abernethy have gone to check. Now, anything else?
There's quite a lot here, sir. He goes on. Sometime before she died, she sustained trauma to her left knee. The kneecap was fractured and subsequently healed, but would not have been able to carry her body weight. Mm-hmm. At the time of her death, the left leg would have been rigid, and she would have walked with a pronounced limp. She may well have used a walking stick.
Now, that's what I call progress. I think a quick return fax would be a good idea. Thank Dr. Reynolds for a performance that takes his customary high standards practically off the chart. I'll trust you to find the words, Elkham. And we ought to radio that information to Montgomery and Abernethy immediately, make their work a good deal easier. Now, what about Ray Sussock? Should we call him in? It's a damnable job getting through to that bedsit place he's in. Nobody seems to answer the phone.
I think he's on night, sir.
Yes. Just between ourselves, I get a bit worried about him. Half the time he can't be reached, and when you do get through, it sounds like amateur night at King Tut's.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, well, if they have these things, I don't know. He's certainly got some heavy metal enthusiasts for neighbours. Does Ray have anything more permanent in mind, do you know? That's all right, Delka, it's all right. I'm not fishing. It's none of my business anyway. I'd just like to see Ray a bit more settled.
Yes, sir. I'm sure we all would. Oh, incidentally, I thought you might want to see that file.
Uh-huh.
I was passing D.C. Montgomery's desk, so...
Yes. Good. Jennifer Ballantyne.
Mm-hmm. Under distinguishing feature, sir.
Uh-huh. Thank you, WPC Willems. I think we can call that a positive identification, don't you?
There's Pendrich on the label. I suppose it'd be too much to expect Ballantyne after 20 odd years.
Hey, there'll be nobody talking in that plane right now. Always the same, last couple of minutes.
Not true. I saw an Alitalia once.
Who is it?
Police.
What? What?
Just let us in.
You've got an essay deadline. Get this no wait.
Afraid not, pal. Are you Pendrich?
No. I'm English, unfortunately.
Is that an apology?
No, it's meant to be a joke. My name's English. Spelt with an I. I'm actually for Dundee.
Yeah, I thought I could hear the faith pays trying to get out there somewhere.
And you're a student, obviously.
Yeah, Glasgow Uni. Economics.
So, you rent a room here? How many other residents?
Faith, we're our students. Would you mind telling me what this is about? Do you lads see a warrant for a start?
Nope.
This flat hasn't been decorated for a while, has it?
Hey, you're not doing a lifestyle feature. I just pay the rent. I didn't even look at the place. There's the odd pizza stain on the walls. If you got that decoration, some of the lads get a wee bit boisterous.
Not you, though. You're writing essays.
Is there a common room? Some sort of living room?
Kitchen, bathroom. That's all. The rest is bedrooms.
These velvet curtains have been here all the time.
I suppose so. Didn't imagine she'd put up nothing new, no for renting it.
The landlady, you mean? What do you think, Malcolm?
What are these? Yeah, promising. Might have a tale to tell, eh? You feel as if the dirt's holding them together. On the other hand, it could be the dried blood.
Eh?
Black puddings. Sorry. Couldn't resist that after the pears. You mind if we take a wee look in the kitchen?
What the hell? Feel free. Nobody in here could afford Class A substances if that's what you're after.
Nah, you've nothing to worry about, except that essay of yours. What we're interested in happened a fair old time ago, when you were still in nappies. Disposables, of course.
Malcolm, have a look at this.
Oh, aye. The lawn's no been manicured for a while either.
God, will you look at that? Not twice in one day, it couldn't be. That's just too cruel.
That's your first lesson, Tony, my boy. Never ignore the obvious.
It must have been swept, surely. I mean, it's the first thing you do, check the gardens, cellars, outhouses.
Aye, well, procedures have tightened up a lot in the last 20 years. It's the first thing you do now. 20 years ago, it was all down to the professionalism of the senior investigating officer. So how does it look, Tony?
Well, we can check the file easily enough. I mean, presumably the area was dug over. If it wasn't,
I'll lay odds there's a body down there.
A body? Is that what you're looking for?
We're not up here chasing your unpaid library fine. So tell me, what do you know about the history of this building?
None. I've only been here since September. Same goes for the other lads.
Any long-term residents?
No. Well, apart from the concierge.
The concierge?
That's what we call her. The old dear and the grand flair. She's been here since the dark ages. She's not a full shilling. But nothing much goes past her. Curtain twitcher, again. If she hasn't seen it, you can tack it never happened.
They have their uses. That's very helpful, Mr. English. So how did you get this flat then?
Oh, you know, I suppose. I more or less bought it after previous tenants.
Did you not get into the halls of residence? That's what most people did when I was a student.
In the first year, you got to find your own flat after that. We heard about this place and a bunch of us got the previous lads to put in a word for us with the owner. Basically, we bought more lager than the competition.
Really?
Yeah, that's how it works. We're already getting inquiries for teams the first year's wanting to rent the next year.
So it's free beer all the way then?
That's the theory.
Aye, and you know what they say about theory. Anyway, you reckon the concierge... Who's the actual owner?
That's Mrs. Penrich. She lives up Broomhill. I can give you the phone number.
Good. Well, that's your wee bit of excitement over. You can get back to your essay. My God. When I was doing law, I was just falling out of bed at this time of day.
Yeah, well, that's economics for you, eh? And you probably voted for them.
See police. See stereotypes. Right. Come on, Tony. We've a line of inquiry to pursue. We'll split up, I think. I'll take the car out to Broomhill, pick you up on the way back.
So I get the concierge. Terrific.
No. Never been a Valentine in this dear animal. In that 70 years, so I'm told. Oh, and you know what? I still sleep in the smallest room in this house. Even after my parents passed out and my brothers left, one to go to sleep and the other to get married. Aye. That's the room I was given. That's the room I've kept. And that's the room I'll keep to my dying day.
Miss Trainor, do you think we could have the TV down a bit? Miss Trainor, the telephone.
What was that?
Right, Miss Trainor. There was no Valentine. How about Carol? Mrs. Carol.
Oh, aye. Bent over with a bone disease. Like that. Like a letter C. Aye. She disappeared. Police poked about the back court with sticks. Oh, a queer pair, though. Made me glad I never married. Listening to them stamping up and down, swearing like troopers all hours. And you'd see them in Byers Road, erm and erm, 2 minutes later. Pair of hypocrites. Next, they'd a wee girl, Jennifer her name. Anyway, all yon arguments must have did for him. He keels over for a heart attack in his early 40s, by which time Jennifer's up. And see they two, screaming at each other the whole time, like sisters, no mother and daughter at all. Lived in isolation. No friends, no relatives. Then, the young man takes a man, gets married, and he moves in. But there's no name on the door. No a new name anyway.
You checked that, did you?
Aye, you're right, I did. Why shouldn't I? I had a perfect right to go up my own stairs, surely, same as any good neighbour.
So, did the husband stay with him?
Aye. He was about more than he was me. Drifted in and out, but he was there. And then, I went on my last holiday. We didn't know it at the time, but that's how it turned out. It's like the high point of your life, you know. You don't realise it at the time, but that's how it turns out. Went on a cook's tour. Egypt and the Nile. 2 months it was in April. After I came back that winter, I got the first stab of arthritis. It's bitten deep now. Pain from fingers to toes. You enjoy your youth while you can, son.
Miss Trina, you were saying about...
Aye, so I was. Anyway, when I gets back to Egypt, there's nae Jennifer. She's disappeared, no? First Mrs. Carroll, their daughter. I mean, I thought it was queer. I thought it stunk, if you must know. But the people in the close said the police had been. They'd been all over the flat, in the back court.
They'd searched the back court?
That's what I was told. Mind you, there'd been a lot of comings and goings. New people moving in. I just wonder if they did tell the police about Mrs. Carroll disappearing and all. But the police would know that, surely. Anyway, the man stayed on for a couple of weeks, then sold the flat. Took well below the market price. I suppose he wanted out of there as quick as he could. I mean, it couldn't have been pleasant for him and his Jack Jones. Both his wife and mother-in-law gone, could it?
I suppose not, Miss Trainer. Mrs. Pendridge, just your type, eh?
Well, I thought she'd be more my type than the concierge. How did you get on?
Interesting. I'll fill you in on the way back. She's not as daft as Mr. English thinks. I'd just like to know who the senior investigating officer was.
Chris Susser could probably know. He's got the graveyard shift this week. Leave a note for him. Meantime, we're off to St. Vincent Street. Firm of solicitors that did the conveyancing for Mrs. Pendridge. Auction home, Carter and Lloyd. That's as much as she could come up with. As far as she's concerned, it's all just a wee investment. Fancy grabbing a cheeseburger en route.
Not bad, eh?
Semper vigilo, young Abernethy. Means eat on the hoof.
Oxenholme in question is my father. He retired 5 years ago. How can the firm assist you?
Well, we'd like details of a conveyancing your father handled about 20 years ago. I understand you still act for the present owner, so you'll have these details, presumably.
I see.
It's in respect of a property at 195 Saltoun Street.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Pendridge's house. She's an old family friend.
What we'd like to know is the name of the vendor and his address, at least as it was at the time of purchase.
I think we could furnish you with that. I'd have to check with the senior partner with regard to confidentiality. But since the land registry's open to public scrutiny, much like the voters' roll, well, if the senior partner approves, I'll retrieve the file from the void. I could call you later today or perhaps tomorrow.
We'd appreciate it as soon as you could let us have it.
Well, I must say this is pretty much as you described on the phone, Mr. Ballantyne. I'm impressed.
Please call me Frank.
As I was saying, Frank, Stuntle's a new company. Marine products, deck fittings, clothing, you name it. Anything the discerning yachtsman needs, Stuntle can supply it at a good price. We're big on the South Coast, but you'll be our first retail outlet in Scotland. Something we've been looking for, especially in the Clyde estuary.
Well, it's the right place. In the summer, the water out there is white with sails. And I'd personally be delighted to act as agent for Stunsell. I mean, you've seen the showroom space. And I've also a good-sized warehouse, so I can move a lot of stock without keeping the customer waiting.
I think we can do business, Frank. You, do a bit of sailing yourself?
Oh, that? Nah, nothing that glamorous. An accident with a stone slab. Sheared it right off.
Nasty. Wasn't just crashed.
Nah. There was nothing to crush it against. It was over a hole. I was actually moving the thing in darkness, believe it or not.
dangerous. Ah, well, it served me right. But I was in a hurry. Long time ago, though. And you know how it is when you're young. Just can't happen to you.
True enough. That's what they say about cemeteries and people it can't happen to. They have a sort of magnetic attraction for each other. Anyway, I must say, your operation here is larger than I was expecting.
Well, the boom in the leisure market's helped. I feel as if I've ridden on the back of a wave. You know what I mean? Rather than made it happen.
Oh, I'm sure you're being too modest, Frank. How long have you been in the business?
It's the kind of 20 years now. I moved down here not long after I lost this. I actually had a house in Glasgow bought and paid for when I was still in my 20s. That's not common up here.
Not common anywhere.
Anyway, I sold up, moved down here to Ayr, bought another place, and used some spare equity to open a chandler's shop. Things really took off after they opened Troon Marina. That allowed me to expand.
Heartening to see somebody doing so well.
I was lucky. You know how it is when you're young. Not only do you think it can't happen to you, but you want your fortune yesterday. It's as if I was sitting there wondering which way to jump, and it all just came to me. All I had to do was sink my teeth in and hang on. Ruthless. Mind you, I was young.
Well, that's one way of looking at it.
Anyway, let's go back up to the house, crack open a bottle. The wife's expecting you'll stay on for dinner.
Oh, I'll be delighted.
Well, it's a mess, isn't it? You got a view on this, Montgomery?
Embarrassing, I would say.
It's unfortunate, sir, that the two women had different names. I mean, presumably they weren't cross-referenced, so the coincidence wasn't picked up. It could happen to anybody. Just bad luck.
Well, it's bad practice, Abernethy, not bad luck.
And different case officers, again, that didn't help.
Poor supervision. If police works about anything, it's about communication. Making sure everybody's up to speed. The right hand kept well informed of the left's whereabouts. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yes, sir, but given the circumstances, I mean, it was an isolated family, no relatives, nobody to come forward. And the one neighbour that would have mentioned it just happened to be on holiday in Egypt. By the time she got back, the dust had settled. She'd assumed somebody else had reported the mother's disappearance.
Yeah, it's like the old story about everybody, anybody, somebody and nobody.
You must tell me that one sometime, Montgomery.
Well, that's what I mean by bad luck, sir.
No, I'm not convinced, Abernethy, but I suppose I've got to respect your stand defending your predecessors. Point is, where do we go from here? Montgomery?
Well, the concierge, what's her name?
Miss Traynor.
Yeah, Miss Traynor, seemingly suggested that the back court might not have been thoroughly searched.
Oh.
Yes, she recalled men with sticks prodding the grass and looking behind the bins, but no dogs, for instance. No earth-moving equipment.
No, where a shovel might have been a good idea. What's her memory like, generally?
Well, I would guess that it'll be reliable, sir. I think Miss Traynor would have been glued to her window the whole time. I mean, as a witness, she tends to go around the houses a bit, but I don't think she'd have missed anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just a pity she was trawling up the Nile at the crucial moment.
That's extraordinary bad luck, sir. I mean, you'd imagine she'd think twice about crossing the road.
Oh, well, we can make excuses all day, but the whole procedure was sloppy, to say the least. I take it you've read the missing persons file on Mrs. Carroll.
Yes, sir.
Well, let's just say that the senior investigating officer was fairly new to CID, inexperienced, probably one of his first cases as a plainclothes officer, 1 DC Raymond Fussock. All right, look, Ray's on at 10. That gives us plenty of time. Can you organise things for 10, Montgomery? We'll need a dog, scenic crime boys, arc lights, and say, a sergeant, what, 5 PCs? How big's this back court?
We shouldn't need 5, sir. 2 or 3, maybe. I could get onto it now. It wouldn't take more than an hour to get everything in place.
No. Thanks for staying on, by the way, but no, I want Ray to do this. I'd actually like to give him some warning, but I can't reach him at that number of his. Any ideas, sir?
Or am I being obvious?
WPC Williams might know. Do you want me to send her in?
Yes, do, please. And don't say what it's about. Ray Sussex will want to finish this job for sure. We can't do anything until that back court yields up its dead. If it has any. Yes, come.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't realise you were...
Busy. That's all right. Montgomery and Abernethy are just going. I wanted a word with you in any case.
Actually, sir, I've just taken a call from a Mr. Oxenholm, a solicitor.
Yes, sir. That's the firm that did the conveyancing on the Saltoun Street flat. DC Abernethy and I interviewed him yesterday.
You better stay then.
Yes, sir. We found him a bit of a dry stick, to tell you the truth. But I was pretty sure he'd get back to us. He sounded the kind of person that keeps his word.
Well, he was on the phone for at least 20 minutes, sir.
That lawyer rate he got.
Indeed. I took a fair amount of notes, sir. He was actually very helpful, repeating anything I wasn't clear about, and I think I've got it all. Anyway, according to Mr. Oxenholm, the flat was sold by a Mr. Francis Ballantyne, and his last recorded address was in Ayr. He was the outright owner of the flat, apparently. No mortgage or anything. At the age of 24.
The world at his feet, eh?
Did he say anything about Ballantyne's wife?
Yes. He didn't do the conveyancing himself. That was in his father's time. But the same firm of solicitors acted for both parties in the sale.
Is that possible? I don't think that was legal.
Oh, yes. It's not uncommon.
According to Oxenholm, one solicitor, he wasn't in fact a partner and he's since retired, but he acted for the vendor and Oxenholm's father acted for Ballantyne. He also said that the wife, Jennifer, née Carol, actually took legal possession of the flat when she was still a teenager.
Teenager?
That's fairly common as well, sir. It's a dodge to avoid paying death duty, or else to keep a property in the family. And as long as a child doesn't predecease the parents, it makes sense. The trouble is, if you sign over your property to your child and they die in a car smash, say, you're in a mess. You'd have to pay death duties to recover your property. And then when you die, your surviving relatives have to pay death duties again. I mean, I personally wouldn't recommend it. What you're doing is basically tossing a coin for double a quit.
Fascinating, Montgomery. I don't know why you ever gave up the law.
Oh, I wanted to see the world, sir.
WPC Willems. Anything else?
Quite a bit, sir. In this case, it seems as if the gamble actually paid off. Mr. Carroll signed over the house to his daughter, so Jennifer Carroll acquired the flat at the age of 13, and her father lived on for another 8 years or so.
Uh-huh. So he just managed to survive past the 7-year cut-off point. They'd have been liable to pay death duty otherwise.
I presume so. Oxenholm didn't mention that. Anyway, Jennifer and her mother stayed on in the flat until her mother went missing. In the meantime, she'd married Ballantyne, opened a boutique in Byers Road, and signed over the flat to her husband.
Oh, this is making my head spin. Montgomery, a legal opinion?
Haven't got one, sir. Actually, no, that's not uncommon either. That keeps the property out of the hands of creditors if the business happens to fail. Though it's usually husbands that put the house in their wife's name.
Well, according to Mr. Oxenholm, it was a wise move because the business did fail. Sank like a lead balloon, was his expression.
Good. That's extremely interesting, Elke. Well done. Not perhaps as riveting as one of Dr. Reynolds's little tea-time treats, but it's the kind of stuff that'll nail somebody's hide to the wall. So, what next? I think we'll leave Mr. Ballantyne until tomorrow. You have an address in Ayr, you said?
Ayrshire Avenue, sir.
Right, well, we'll see what the night shift turns up. But I have a feeling that that very long arm is about to grip Mr. Ballantyne's collar.
So in 1970, she signs her property over to her husband, and her mother disappears the same year. She goes missing 3 years later, and the next month her husband sells a flat. What do you reckon, Hamill? Think anybody could miss it?
I don't know, Sarge. I mean, sometimes the obvious.
Thanks. You know, there are times when this job can make you feel that sick.
The dog's onto something, Sarge. Definitely.
Okay, lads, let's have a look. Right, come on, get these things.
I think we can get in out of the cold for a minute, Sergeant. And have a flask of coffee.
Oh, that's very welcome, sir.
Oh, my wife fills one up every night before she comes to bed. Long experience of 4 a.m. calls.
Well, it's a bit earlier this time.
Well, it'll have to be neat, I'm afraid. That's how I take it.
Fine by me.
Well, Sergeant Sussock, what can I tell you? One is an adult female, and two, she's deceased.
and that's about it. Until we get her down to the GRI. I'll be able to determine her age approximately from what we've got here. But it's going to be difficult without the skull. You might let the dogs have another go once the bones have been removed, but I don't hold out much hope. The Dalmuir skeleton yesterday was a different matter. Oh, your man Montgomery was at the post-mortem.
Actually, sir, we think those bones belong to that young woman's mother.
Eh? 20 years on as well?
I'm afraid so.
Well, somebody's sins are seeking him out. Oh, you could look for jewelry, of course, that sort of thing, but you don't need me to tell you that. What I can tell you is that the bones are lying quite wide apart and crossed over each other as if they'd been placed that way. And they were buried still flesh very shortly after death, I'd say.
Murder?
Well, most likely. But all you can say at the moment is unlawful disposal of the dead gets you 2 years in the slammer with time off for good behaviour. The bones appear to have been chopped and sawn. Now, that could have been done in a panic to cover up an accidental death. But if this is the Dalmuir lady's mother, well... let's see what the bones tell us tomorrow. Oh, you're welcome to attend, of course.
I think I might wait for the facts.
Ray, I can understand why you're here, but you clocked off officially 2 hours ago. Have you had any breakfast?
I'm fine, sir. I'd rather see this through, if you don't mind.
Well, let's see what we have. We're certain the bones are those of Mrs. Carroll?
Dr. Reynolds called in first thing, sir. He's still preparing his report, but he thought we'd like to know the deceased was suffering from Paget's disease. It's seemingly more common in men, but it helps fix her age, since it rarely strikes before about the age of 60.
And the lady we're trying to identify was 47 when she went missing.
Well, I did mention that, and he reckoned it was just more bad luck. He also said the head had been sawn off, most likely not cause of death, too systematic, but to dispose of the body.
Yes, somebody with the time and place to do it. So what's this Paget's disease?
It's an overall weakening of the bones, sir, but especially the long bones, which causes them to distort.
Miss Traynor, the old lady in the flat below, did mention that Mrs. Carroll had a very pronounced stoop. She said she was bent over like a letter C.
Well, under the circumstances, I don't think there's any doubt about this one, Ray, do you?
No, sir.
So, Jennifer Carroll acquires the flat at 13, marries at 21. Soon after that, her mother disappears, then she disappears, but only after she hands over the flat to her husband. And 20 years down the line, they turn up in shallow graves. I'd say it was worth a trip to Ayr, wouldn't you, Ray? To shake Mr. Ballantyne's hand, see if he's got a full set of fingers.
Yes, sir. Actually, the Saltoun Street burial isn't a shallow grave. It's more like a bone pit, a couple of feet square, with the bones neatly stacked inside. Not that that should have made any difference. If you don't mind, sir, I would like to have the last word with Mr. Ballantyne.
You know, I never believed I'd get away with it. I just needed time to think. I couldn't believe it'd take them that long to find the body.
Which body are we talking about, Mr. Ballantyne?
Jennifer. When I lifted that slab up over her, I'd no idea. I went back, you know, revisiting the scene of the crime, months later. And there's grass grown over it. But I thought, okay, maybe a year. A year's grace. But 20? Well, my luck's run out. And that finger, as if it's been pointing at me all these years.
That must have made your eyes water.
With the finger? Nah. Wasn't that sore. I just about fainted when I saw it. Didn't bleed all that much either. I staggered up onto Dumbarton Road, found a taxi and got it fixed up at the Western. I can remember going back to the flat in the morning, buying the Sunday papers, doing egg and toast and thinking, well, that's it over. A sort of relaxed feeling.
Why'd you do it?
The money. I did it for the money. I mean, you see how I live. Well, used to. You know, My son's five. Ian. He comes running through the garden to give me a hug every day, the minute he hears the car. It's funny. Just yesterday, my wife said, enjoy it while you can. You'll come home one day and he won't do that. Well, the house is in her name. They're taken care of. They might not stay on in air, might not be able to. I didn't kill her mother, you know.
But you disposed of the body.
Oh, I had to. I came home from London and there she was. She'd been lying there for 4 days. Cans of air freshener everywhere. Jennifer never got along with her mother. She wasn't all that stable, actually. They'd had a fight and she'd stabbed her. She just sat there waiting for me to come home. Anyway, I did the business, sewed up the bones and so on. I made out it was gardening. It's still a hobby of mine, as you can see. Anyway, I went back down south. Told Jennifer to scrub the flat, get it absolutely spotless, and wait at least 3 days before she reported her mother missing. I mean, I had a concrete alibi. If I remember rightly, you said that yourself when you interviewed me.
I dare say I did, Mr. Ballantyne. Another of your victims.
Yeah. Anyway, while I was in London, Jennifer was supposed to keep shrieking on at her mother, a regular nightly ding-dong to make the neighbours think the old bitch was still alive and kicking.
Presumably that was your idea.
Well, it might have been Alfred Hitchcock's. Certainly wasn't Jennifer's. She wasn't that bright. I phoned from London a few days later to check the flat was sweet and wholesome and gave her the go-ahead to report it. That's where you come in. What did you say your rank was these days?
Detective Sergeant.
Oh, well, didn't hold you back. Not too much.
Mr. Ballantyne, you admit disposing of the body, but there's something you haven't quite...
Oh, the head. Yes. I told Jennifer that was going to take longer to get rid of. It would need more care. It's quite funny in a way. The night I killed Jennifer, we had a really ferocious row. I mean, that was her speciality. It was the only thing she was good at. Anyway, she was going on about her mother and how she could drop me in at any time. And just for badness, I told her I'd dumped her mother's head in a builder's skip.
Was that what you did with it?
Nah. I was winding her up. This was after her shop went bust. She'd bought this shop in Byers Road, a boutique, and it went to the wall. She'd put the flat in my name, and when she thought the coast was clear, you know, once the creditors had given up, well, of course she wanted it back. She actually threatened to have the law on me. Yeah, she was going to sue me. I mean, she was something else, was Jennifer.
So you murdered her?
She came at me with a kitchen knife, in fact. It was self-defense, sort of. But I don't think your forensic guys would find much evidence of that. Not now, anyway.
No, Mr. Ballantyne, certainly nothing as permanent as the tight she shoved down her windpipe.
Well, that was an afterthought. I just put my hands round her throat and... I mean, she was coming at me with a knife. I'll be sorry to lose all this. Really, up until the business with Jennifer, that was me, a loser. Since then, well, I just needed a start, as you can see. You'll let me say goodbye to the family, I hope, before the hugs run out.
Of course. Just one thing. You told Mrs. Ballantyne, the first Mrs. Ballantyne.
Oh, the story about the builder's skip, yes. Yeah, people do funny things, don't they? I somehow couldn't throw it away. I don't know. Maybe I needed some sort of hold over Jennifer, but I couldn't get rid of it. Not then, anyway. I'll tell you where to dig this time. But I'd rather they weren't here to see it. Would you mind?
No, Mr. Ballantyne, I can wait. I waited 23 years. That's a few days more.
Thanks. I appreciate that. You know, Mr. Sussock, I'm glad it's you.
Really?
Yeah. It's like setting the record straight. Makes me feel less guilty somehow. Fancy a cup of tea before we go?
In The Bone Pit, Detective Sergeant Ray Sussock was played by Jake Darcy, D.C. Abernethy by Andrew Conlon, and D.C. Montgomery by Frank Gallagher. D.I. Donahue was played by Crawford Logan, W.P.C. Elka Willems by Eliza Langland, and P.C. Hamilton by Martin McCarty. Dr. Reynolds was played by Gerard Sleven. Waller, Stevie Hannon, McCann, Cahal Quinn, Ballantyne, Alan Sharp, English, Kern Faulkner, Mrs. Trainer, Wilma Duncan, and Oxenholm was played by Joey Cooper. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Bone Pit was written by Peter Turnbull, dramatised by Stephen Mulryan, and recorded on location in Glasgow and in our studios in Edinburgh. The director was Hamish Wilson.